distress, journalist Arun Gupta, founder of The Independent and the Occupied Wall Street Journal, and Joanna Brenner, retired PSU faculty member who writes on feminist theory and politics. Again, that's Wednesday, May 7th at Portland State University's Smith Center, room 238 at 1825 Southwest Broadway in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Artemis Foods, Portland's local, organic, and sustainable catering company since 2001. Special events, corporate, and wedding catering with seasonal menus and service supported by sustainable business operations. Artemis offers full service and drop-off catering. Information at artemisfoods.com.
I'm Dee Mae Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to a song called New Days. It's from David Ornette Cherry's new CD titled It Could Be Different. Find out more about it at davidornettecherry.com. Today we're going on location to Milagro Theater in Southeast Portland. I sat down with Olga Sanchez, the artistic director, who is also a director and actress at the theater. She's currently featured in Learn to Be Latina, running May 1st through the 31st at Milagro Theater. It's the closing show of the 30th anniversary season. We'll find out what it's like for Olga Sanchez to be juggling many different hats right now and about how she works to bring plays to Milagro that represent many Latino cultures and ethnicities. Stay tuned. This is an on-location edition of Stage and Studio, and you can follow along and see photos and links at stageandstudio.org. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio. We're on an on-location special edition of Stage and Studio, and I'm here at Milagro Theater in Southeast Portland. And here with me is Olga Sanchez, who's the artistic director.
Hi, Dee Mae. Nice to be talking to you. Thank you for making the trip here to Milagro.
Tell me, just describe to our audience right now where we're at right now and what Milagro Theater looks like right now.
You bet. Well, you and I are sitting currently in the Milagro Theater itself. It's a 120-seat space, very intimate. It's kind of, it's not quite theater in the round, it's sort of three quarters. So there's seats all around on three sides of a square, if you can imagine that. And we're getting ready to go into tech this weekend. So it's in a bit of chaos. There's lighting instruments on the floor, there's paint cloths over covering some of the seating so as not to get paint splatters on our seats. There's bits of gel, material that's going to go on the lights. There's ladders everywhere, buckets, wires, cables. It's kind of a mess. Interestingly, though, this is all kind of on the periphery. The stage itself is looking very sharp and clean because we're trying to create the image of hip corporate life. And so it's in tones right now. It's not finished painting, but we've begun with tones in these awful, beige and muddy, indistinct, ambiguous browns that, sort of frame corporate existence, I think. There's no color yet.
Well, I'm glad you pointed that out because as I'm looking at it right now, there's a lot of angles and it almost looks like the edifice of something like a Nike or a Hewlett-Packard kind of building where, you're on some kind of campus.
Yeah, it's definitely the set. This is the set for Learn to Be Latina, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. And it takes place in LA at a recording studio. Well, forgive me, not a recording studio, but it takes place at a recording corporation. So it is a funky artist development and they manage pop stars and music stars. And so this is the corporate headquarters of Funky Artist Development, but it's definitely in the heart of corporate world. Yeah.
Learn to Be Latina starts May 1st. Is that correct?
Our preview is May 1st, and we open on Friday, May 2nd, and run for 5 weekends all the way through the end of May, May 31st.
So it's starting with previews on May 1st. And I think right off the bat, Learn to Be Latina is a provocative title. And it's also, I think, a provocative comedy. And I mean, the whole plot is about this young woman who wants to be a Latina superstar music recording artist, and yet she isn't Latina.
That's right. The playwright, Enrique Urueta, describes it as a post-9/11 race farce lesbian romantic comedy with dance breaks. To her credit, she doesn't want to be Latina. She's told she needs to be Latina if she wants to succeed, because Latinos are in. And what she is not in. She's Arab American. And they're like, no, we can't go there. Nobody will buy that. And so she's put through basically Latina boot camp, and it's so offensive. I mean, and you know, it's not even just offensive to Latinos. It's I don't think, we've had a couple of run-throughs, our designers have come in and they're like, wow, that's offensive, but so funny. Because it really, the playwright just went all out and said, you know what, there's so much that's just amiss in the way we classify people and put people in boxes and stereotype them. And he basically opens up all those stereotypes and goes, this is what we're saying about each other. This is what we're thinking about each other. This is what we're afraid about. But it really, you're just like, oh my goodness, he just said that. He's saying those things that we know get said out there. Hopefully not by us, but they're said. We say them, and we say them on this stage, and they're hard to say. They're really hard to say. But ultimately, I think the thing that I love about this play is that in the end, right goodness, true love, true identity wins out, wins the day, and shines forth.
So it does sound like a real farce, and it's a way to talk about race in a way that, I don't know if it's safe, but maybe perhaps a fun way to just turn it around and get people talking about what is offensive, what isn't offensive. But also, you're performing in it. You're an actor in it.
Yes, I am acting in it. But I did want to riff on your comment about talking about race, talking about identity, and not just race, but this play is the LGBTQ themed. This play won the first ever national Great Gay Play Award. I think it was in San Francisco when it came out a couple of years ago. One of the things that we've been able to create, thanks to support with the Oregon Humanities, is a series of conversations that'll happen after the first 3 Sunday matinees. The whole thing is called Identity Boot Camp. The first one's called Just Who Do You Think You Are? The second one's called Star Maker Machinery. And the third one's called It's a Girl. So the Just Who Do You Think You Are? We are fortunate, again, thanks to Oregon Humanities, to be able to bring out the playwright who's based in New York, to speak with Brenda Evelise, who's the Associate Dean of Students at PCC Rock Creek, and Victor Casares, who's a playwright, about identity in art and how that's approached. So he'll be able to talk to that firsthand. The second session, Star Maker Machinery, and these are all free, by the way, we're going to be able to talk with Aaron Goodman, who's the casting director of Cast Iron Studios, David Kress, who's the award-winning producer of Portlandia, and Catherine Olson, professor of psychology at Reed, about what does it take nowadays? I mean, how much of this crafting of identity goes into crafting of successful performing artists' careers? And then the last one, It's a Girl, has to do with gender identification and what is performance identity. And for that, we'll be able to speak with Kevin Cook, who's also known as Rose Empress, 14 Poison Waters. She's an entertainer and an LGBTQ community leader, really fabulous person, as well as Kate Bredesen, who's a theater historian and dramaturge at Reed, and Hannah Kostrin, who's also at Reed. She's a scholar who works in the intersection of dance, Jewish, and gender studies. So these conversations are happening around our performance, and I'm really excited about them.
Well, on the flyer that you just were looking at, it says Identity Boot Camp. So I love that title.
It's almost like you're training to figure out what identity is.
Well, they really are. They're shaped as conversations around the notion of identity. How malleable is identity? How are we interacting both with our own identities and with others' identities? And how are we responding to identity? And what is it that you know, ultimately, it's a label. You know, how are we putting people in boxes, and how are we breaking out of those boxes? How are we reshaping those boxes so that they're not boxes? Because that's, frankly, that's where misunderstanding and, forgive me, hatred comes into play, when people classify others not as individuals but by some stereotype that helps them, I don't know, feel safer, you know, whatever it is that isn't helpful to our growth as human beings and our ability to understand and appreciate each other as human beings, as individuals.
You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dime Roberts, talking with Artistic Director Olga Sanchez of Milagro Theater. And we're talking about Learn to Be Latina at Milagro Theater. And you can find out more information at milagro.org, or you can also call at 503-236-7253. In looking at this identity boot camp, now, are you one of the boot camp instructors in the play? What is your character in Learn to Be Latina?
I play Mary O'Malley, MBA/PhD.
O'Malley?
O'Malley, yes. Mary O'Malley, MBA/PhD. And I am the ethnic consultant. I'm the person who, when the record executives who are meeting with Hanan Mashalani is our protagonist's name, and they want to sign her, and they're like really excited, and they're like, what are you? You're sort of ethnically ambiguous. What are you? We need to know what you are. And she's like, well, I'm Lebanese American, and they're like, well, we can't work with that. I'm really sorry. And they're about to send her out the door when the ethnic consultant enters and goes, no, we can do this. She's got talent. She looks great. We've got to sign her. And the way to do it is by changing her identity. What's the big deal? No, everybody does it all the time. People are into Latinos. Let's make her Latina. So to a certain extent, yes, I'm part of the training program. So are the executives. And other stuff happens, you know, that make it more difficult for her to completely embrace that identity. But she does become a very hot rising star, Grammy nominated, all sorts of things. So it works.
Well, it's always exciting to watch you direct as well as act, and just to be on stage. I think you're just a really fine actress, so I'm always thrilled when you're in a show, as well as when you're directing a show. But there's something about you on stage that's really beautiful to watch, just beautiful to watch. And so if you want more information about Learn to Be Latina, go to milagro.org. You can also get that information at stageandstudio.org. Now, you're spending really long days here at Milagro because you also are preparing for a new season. You're also just doing a lot of work behind the scenes for this production, but for a lot of different things that are going on. So tell me, what's in the works after Learn to Be Latina?
Well, Learn to Be Latina is the closing show of this season, which is our 30th anniversary season.
And we should mention it's directed by Antonio Sanera.
Yes.
And how is it working with him? You've worked with him quite a bit, haven't you?
He's worked, certainly directed for us many times. He's terrific. And I've been directed by him once before, a couple of years ago in Mariela in the Desert, which was a terrific experience.
Yeah, you were great in that play. I do remember that. That was a couple of years ago, though.
I don't remember the year.
I don't remember either.
Sorry. About 2008, I think. So yes, absolutely, working on next season. We will launch our season with our Luna Nueva Festival, and I'm really excited about this because in years past, we've done a variety of shows. It's been basically a new show every night. And this year, I wanted to change it up a little bit and focus around three centerpiece pieces that will hinge the whole Luna Nueva Festival. And there's two world premieres in this, and one show that's coming in from out of town. One of the world premieres is called Incarri, which is being created by Alex Yumekinka in collaboration with Luciana Proaño, and it's going to be a music and dance and storytelling show about Andean legends. And Alex is a gifted musician. He plays with the group Shayak, who's going to be performing with this. Luciana is a folklorico and modern dancer, terrifically interpretive, wonderful person. She's creating the music, the dance portion of this, and then together they're crafting the storytelling element that they're looking for actors to work on. So that's going to be quite beautiful. And it will feature indigenous language as well as Spanish and English. Then Words That Burn is a really exciting project that's being generated by Los Porteños writers that we support here at Milagro. We've presented them in a variety of formats for Day of the Dead. They do a William Stafford reading. And I think it's out of that William Stafford exploration that Words That Burn has emerged. It's a piece that takes the writings of William Stafford, who, you know, we're celebrating his centennial this year around Oregon State, and also Lawson Inada, our poet laureate, who has a deep history in, started his early years spending time in a concentration camp, in one of the internment camps, and here in Oregon, and survived that well and has gone on to be a gifted writer and an inspirational speaker and a leader of our community. And a man named Guy Gabaldon, who's less known, he's from LA, a Chicano Marine. And so the play is based on their writing and around their experiences in World War II. As we know, William Stafford was a conscientious objector and spent time also in a camp, isolated, where he developed his discipline around his writing and, of course, became, you know, one of our most renowned writers of Oregon. And so it's their writing and their experiences around war. And ultimately, this weekend is about building bridges cross-cultural, cross-community. There's an art installation that's going to be presented, a photographic exhibit around war and peace, peacemaking personally and peacemaking across borders. And the third piece of our Luna Nueva Festival is a thing called Dreamscape that's been created by a man named, Dr. Kirby Hines from Los Angeles. And he observed an event that happened a few years ago. There was a young woman who was sitting in her car, and she'd been partying, and she fell asleep. The car was parked, but she fell asleep. The car was idling. And I guess the police were notified, and they came to investigate. And she moved her hand or something. They were saying, wake up, or whatever they were saying to her to, like, get it together. But they were approaching her with their weapons. And she made a gesture in her sleeping state, and they shot her 12 times, and they killed her. This is an 18-year-old young woman who was shot in her car for sleeping with the car idling. Now,
where was this?
This was in Los Angeles.
So
he made a piece. Now, he's originally from Honduras, but his work has been a little more immersed in the African-American community and the African-American deep tradition of hip-hop and spoken word. And he made this really beautiful piece about her, and it's Dreamscape, it's called. And it's what she's thinking as she's being shot. And she's asleep. So it's about, you know, like, she's shot in the arm, she's shot in the leg, she's shot in the head, she's shot in the chest, and each of these bullet wounds charges a memory from her young 18-year-old life and her dreams and her hopes and her aspirations and her, I'm going to get through this because I've got all my life. It's tragic. It's a tragic story, but it's important.
Wow, that was so moving just to hear you talk about the play. I don't know how you keep all of this in your head. There's just a lot of different types of material that Milagro Theater is doing, and it's so, there's so much depth to all of it. How difficult when you're trying to figure out what you're going to have in the season? How, I mean, I know this with doing Asian Pacific American work, that I need to be pan-Asian, you know, as much as possible. How difficult is that when you're I don't want to say programming, but, you know, creating a program or a season of productions to find, you know, something that's representative in for a wide amount of ethnicities in the Latino experience?
It's It's vigilance, you know. I think it's a question of making sure. I'm committed to it. I'm personally committed to being, to in our explorations here, because our focus is Latino arts and culture, in being, as you say, pan-Latino. And so I'm constantly on the alert. And one of the interesting challenges we're having this season coming up, we were in negotiations with an agency in Argentina. And this is one of the, you know, the interesting things about just working internationally or with international agencies and writers, because for our Spanish language play, I look for plays from Latin America. It's very interesting because a lot of those plays are they're written about the circumstances within their regions, within their communities, within their countries, and sometimes those stories don't translate. They're deeply important to their community, but I've in my travels, I've experienced it there as theater of witness. They are speaking aloud their personal concerns, and so they're very personal. And I don't know that they would have the same impact here. So I look for things that have a little more resonance with our experiences here, and our understanding of life. You know, we're looking for the universal human stories, as we always do with theater. So I was in communication with an agency that was representing the estate of a playwright whose work I wanted to do in Argentina. After 6 weeks of back and forth, and it's slow. I mean, it probably, if we were in the US, it would have been a week of back and forth, but because it's long distance, it takes longer. And because it was third party, also longer. It turned out that after 6 weeks, they remembered that the play isn't available because it's under, somebody else wants to do it, and they have a 3-year limitation on the play in the United States. So that went away. So now it was like, okay, so what's my plan B's? My plans B are a play that I'm in communication with the artist in Chile and their agency in Spain, a plays that I'm looking at in Colombia, a play that I'm investigating from Uruguay, again third party, and a play and 3 plays potentially from Mexico that my director has recommended, but she's in Mexico. So all of these are like, you know, while I'm learning lines and producing an art exhibit that happens in also on May 1st that I can't go to, an art exhibit and a performance showcase for our Latino Artists Exchange that's happening downtown, which I'm very excited about. I didn't even mention that. So thanks to support from Portland 5, a project that we've been developing over the past 5 years, it's called the Latino Artist Exchange, or Intercambio de Artistas Latinos. And we've been, through the last 4 or 5 years, we've held workshops. These are professional development workshops. This is about building a network among Latino artists of all disciplines around the state, but primarily in this region here, because this is where we are. And we've held conferences every year that have had workshops, networking opportunities, socializing, open mics, all sorts of terrific stuff. This year, we were invited by Portland 5, formerly known as the PCPA, the Portland Center for the Performing Arts, which is 5 different venues, but they're one of their biggest venues downtown on Main Street and Broadway is the Antoinette Hatfield Hall. So the downstairs space is their gallery and their rotunda. And so the gallery is going to feature, we have 20 different Latino artists from the Northwest who are going to be shown there. It's painting, mural, glass works, I think video, we're working on the video portion of it, and sculpture. And then that day that opens this event, this is Thursday, May the 1st, is First Thursday. And so they're hosting a reception, and we're producing a performance showcase, and we're showing 11 different performing arts groups that represent, I think in total, 6 different countries. And this is folkloric dance, modern dance, spoken word, singing, and dancing. So I'm just really excited about this performance showcase that happens Thursday, May the 1st, downtown at the Antoinette Hatfield Hall from 5 to 8 p.m. that I cannot attend because I'll be in previews. But we have a great team. The beauty of this project is that it is, while Milagro hosts it and promotes it and supports it, it's very artist driven, and so we have a lot of great leadership in the project that's going to be down there making it happen.
Well, if you can remember all of what you just said, I don't think lines will be so hard for you.
You'd be surprised. No, it's okay. It's all right. I think because personally, I think because I'm passionate about the work, I believe in all of it, and I love it, and I have to write about it, and I have to talk about it, and I work on it, and so it's not hard to remember. It's just I believe in it. I believe in it. We believe in it here at Milagro, and so we get behind it and get it done, and we can talk about it.
Well, I'm so glad that Milagro is still here after all these years, 30th anniversary. I mean, that is just tremendous, and also that it's just such a thriving organization. It's grown just in coming through here to the theater and going through your offices. How many new staff you seem to have since I've been here, I don't know, a few years ago, and it's just growing by leaps and bounds, and you're just all over the state now and Northwest.
Well, two things I'd love to respond to about that. I think Milagro grows because it's in the right community. It's in a community that's curious, that's traveled, that reads, that wants to know, that that's changing, and that supports the inquiry, our artistic inquiry, because that's what this work is. And the things that we want to talk about are the things that our community wants to talk about. And by community, I mean whole community. This is, you know, not a Latino-centric, I mean, it's Latino-focused, but it's not Latino-exclusive by any stretch of the imagination. Our audiences are Portland and the Northwest. And the second thing that I wanted to point out is that, yeah, Northwest, but we have a touring program that goes all around the country and touches communities all over, as far as Maine. And that's a significant service that Milagro provides out there, to provide bilingual stories that enlighten, that provide mirrors to communities that don't see themselves otherwise recommended, that offer opportunities to hear Spanish, to hear bilingual text, and Latino issues, out there for discussion.
Well, thank you, Olga Sanchez, Milagro Theater's Artistic Director, for sharing your passion with us on stage and studio today, and break legs for your performance. And it's always a thrill to talk with you and just to hear all the exciting work, and also just to learn more also about the Latino community in the arts, which is, I think you've become the central community center, at least for Portland, for the artistic community, definitely for Latino culture here.
Likewise, thank you, Dime.
Learn to Be Latina, written by Enrique Ureta and directed by Antonio Sonera, runs May 1st through the 31st at Milagro Theater. That's located at 525 Southeast Stark in Portland. Showtimes are Thursday at 7:30 p.m. and Fridays and Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. Tickets are available at milagro.org or 503-236-7263. There are special talks about identity and gender perspectives that follow Sunday matinees. You can find out more info about that at milagro.org or stageandstudio.org, where I have info to learn about Latina listed. That's it for Stage and Studio. You can hear this show again at stageandstudio.org, as well as on the podcast on iTunes. And also like us on facebook.com/stage_studio. You can also tweet me at @StageNStudio. Till next time, I'm Dime Roberts. We're going out with more music by David Ornette Cherry, available at davidornettecherry.com.
award-winning Oregon filmmaker Penny Allen is coming to Portland's Hollywood Theater this Saturday and Sunday for a two-night retrospective of her breakthrough independent films, including newly remastered prints of the 1978 Sundance Award winner Property, the 1981 classic Pay Dirt, and her recent feature Late for My Mother's Funeral, set in France and Algeria. This KABU-sponsored event features Q&A sessions with Penny, as well as scheduled guests Gus Van Sant, Eric Edwards, and Walt Curtis. It all happens this Saturday and Sunday, April 26th and 27th, at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. More information can be found online at hollywoodtheater.org.
Good morning. My name is Ava Lake, and thanks so much for listening to Art Focus. What a beautiful day. I have with me a beautiful guest. I have with me Vanessa Rennick, filmmaker and artist, and she's got so much going on that hopefully we'll be able to cover it all. She had an exhibition. She has an exhibition that's up right now at the Merrillhurst Art Gym that just opened up Layover. And so that's kind of the title of the whole installation, but there are various components. Or talk to us just a little bit about what's all in it.
Yes, at the show there's two pieces. One of them is a video installation where you lie down on pillows and look up at a screen that's hanging up above you. And it's a film about the Vox Swifts flying when they have their three-week layover here in Portland, Oregon, every September.
That's why it's called Layover. Very good.
And Eric Edwards shot the footage, and Sam Coombs made a score for that film. And it's a short film. It's 6 minutes long. And but then I also asked Sam to create another score for the film, so that when people were in the gallery, they wouldn't hear the same score over and over again every 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so the other score relates to the other part of the show, which is called the Go-Betweens. And the Art Gym has these huge